Lord, heal this land. The 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. Let us turn to the book of the 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. A car that was running on the road got broken all out of a sudden and it stopped. A young guy that was driving this car was fixing it. A car that was passing by this car stopped by and an old man got off. That old man was watching him fixing the car for a while. He asked young man, may I help you? No, I am a car mechanic. I will fix it. But even it took some time, he could not fix the car. The old man told him this. Open the bonnet. Young man opened it. Old man touched somewhere and he told young man to start the car again. Young man started the car and the car started moving. The young mechanic was amazed and asked old man, who are you? I am Henry Ford, I made this Ford car. That is right. A person that made the product can fix it properly. When a watch is broken, if you go to a place that manufactured it, it gets fixed perfectly. When a car is broken, if you go to a place that manufactured it, it gets fixed perfectly. When your lives are broken, where should we go to? We need to go to God. God made the universe and everything in it. He is the creator that made the human beings. If we go to God that made us, our souls, minds, bodies and our circumstances as well, He fixes these for us. So, the Bible says, return to God. It is a promise that He will take care of it all. In verse 14, it says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It is a promise that God will fix it all. This time, we need to come forward to God and get our souls, minds, bodies healed. Right now, we are going through the time of Lent. It is a time that we need to look upon the cross of the Lord and come forward to the throne of God, but due to coronavirus epidemic, prayer meetings have been stopped, grace stopped flowing and the worship services have been suspended. A spiritually malignant virus has entered. I pray that God will heal our people that are anxious and fearful of this situation. At the very night that Solomon prayed, God appeared to him. Verse 12 says like this. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. It was a night when he was praying. At the night that Solomon prayed at church, God appeared to him. Night is a time of silence. It is a time that you can think of God quietly. It refers to the time of fervent prayers. Also, night refers to the time of agony when things are difficult. In life, there is a night. In health, there is a night. In our families and businesses, there are times when we can encounter night. The time that people met God was during the night that they were praying to God. It shows this in the middle part of verse 12. I have heard your prayer. What kind of night of life we get to encounter? Let us pray to God first of all. In the Bible, there are many instances of meeting God while encountering the night of life. The end of life is a beginning of God. In the second chapter of John, when they ran out of wine, the miracle took place. When people said that there would be a crisis, hands of God appeared. When we encounter the night of life, I hope that this would be the time for us to meet God as well. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 26, it talks about Paul and Silas praying during the night. They experienced the miracle. The land that prison was shook, the door of the prison got opened and the steel chains got unbroken. In Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 7, it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared at night and opened the prison door. In the 2 Kings, chapter 19, verse 35, it says, "That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies." When Hezekiah went up to the house of God and while he was praying, that night the angel of the Lord appeared. The Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp without Hezekiah putting a hand on them. God that appeared to Solomon at night said that I already heard your prayer. In the 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "The king got up in the night and said to his officers, I will tell you what the Arams have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking, they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city." God already knows about our situations. He knows about our stories. God already knows about our wishes. He already heard the prayers of Solomon that prayed in the house of God. He is God that surely listens. In Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." The voice of God came in 40 years' time while they were in the Midian wilderness. God knew all about them. God was listening to them. God was watching over them. God is the one that would save them. God was the one that led them to Canaan. I hope you will have this kind of conviction when you pray. How does an answer come through? In general, it comes in six ways. First of all, there is an answer that comes through right away. In John, chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you." If the will of God exactly matches with our wishes, God answers us right away. Secondly, there is an answer that says no. In James, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." If it is against the will of God, even if we ask, we would not be able to get it. Thirdly, there is an answer that says, wait. In Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "See, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. I will respond for sure, so even it takes time, wait." There are three kinds of secrets that God gave human beings. Death is a secret. No one knows about the time of death. Secondly, the day that the Lord would come again is a secret. Only the Father knows about it. An answer to prayer is a secret. In Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Even though Daniel's prayer got answered on the very first day he prayed, he was able to enjoy the answer after 21 days. Receiving an answer to the prayer and being able to enjoy it is different. Therefore, in prayer, perseverance is needed. There is an answer that comes through ideologically. It is an answer that is invisible. It is an answer that comes to us in a form of peace. There are times when God answers us in a form of peace when we pray in depth. There is an answer that comes through in a form of wisdom. There is an answer that comes to us in a form of spiritual sensitivity like Solomon. There is an answer that comes through in a form of providence. In Acts, chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia." When Paul was about to leave to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit stopped him from going. In Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 to 10, it says, During the night Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In a vision, Paul saw that a Macedonian person calling him. Also, there is an answer that comes through in a form of a gift. At times, he answers us through a vision or a dream. There is an answer that comes through the Word of God. It is the most accurate answer. God surely answers us in any way. When we pray, oftentimes, we pray without having a conviction. We pray in faith. God listens to our prayers in any way and answers us. It is a promise that He will heal in a time of crisis. Verses 13 to 16, it says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." God promised Solomon that was praying that he will heal three things. Verse 13 says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people." When Solomon was seeking God in prayer, God promised him that he will heal. Psalms, chapter 50, verse 15, it says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Everything is in the hands of God. Have a look at the 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. It says, "The Lord brings death and makes alive, He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth, He humbles and He exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, upon them He has set the world." God kills and also He allows us to live. He makes us to be poor and also He makes us to be wealthy. He lifts us up at times and also He puts us down. That is right. The life as well, God controls it. Blessings as well, God needs to give these to us. Our lives as well, God needs to lift us up. If I try to go up by myself, then when I fall, it does not look good. In verse 13, there are three kinds of promises that come up that God promised to Solomon while he was praying. God promised Solomon that he would take care of him when the heaven is shut. If the heaven is shut, then everything is blocked. It is a spiritual disaster. It is when the blessings are blocked. It is when the grace is blocked. It is when the life is failing. It is a promise that when things go this way, God will open up. Secondly, God promised Solomon that he would take care of them when there is no rain. It is a disaster of soil. If we say it in modern day terminology, it is a disaster of business. It is a drought and a disaster of grains. It is a promise that when things are like these, God will pour out. God also promised Solomon that when an infectious disease is widely spread out, he would take care of them. An infectious disease is not a mere coincidence. We need to know that it is in the hands of God. There are so many diseases that we do not know the names of. SARS, MERS, coronavirus, repetitively, as time goes by, there are more infectious diseases. It is not that modern medical service is ahead of diseases, but it follows the diseases. If we look at it in the biblical perspectives, these infectious diseases are not a mere coincidence. We need to know that the hands of God have been intervened. 10 kinds of disasters that fell through on the land of Egypt were not a mere coincidence. When God allowed these disasters to take place, in Goshen region where Israelites were staying, disasters did not take place. It was because God was protecting them. That is right. Right now as well, God needs to protect us. Even people lived in Egypt, in the region of Goshen where the Israelites lived in, a disaster of death passed over them. That is right. When the heaven was shut, God opened the door of heaven. When there was no rain, God allowed the rain to pour out. When an infectious disease is being spread out, I bless you all in the name of Jesus that God will stop it from affecting you all. pray and seek the face of God. Verse 14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Prayer is seeking the face of God. When we do not pray, even we live in faith, there is no peace. We get to have more anxieties. Prayer is a key to solving the problems. When we seek God, He promised us two things. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." Here, the word I comes up four times. Who is I here? It is God. Faith is seeking the face of God. If God turns the face away from us, we would lose our way. We get to be abandoned. King Saul was like that. Facing the face of God is grace and a blessing. When Jacob encountered God in front of Jabbok River, God renamed him. "Your name is not Jacob, it is Israel." Israel means a victor. This day, Jacob had a new morning of Peniel. Peniel means a face of God. When we seek the face of God, He removes our sins. Sin blocks three kinds of relationships. Sin blocks our fellowship and relationship with God. Sin blocks our relationship of blessing with God. Genesis, chapter 3, verse 17 says, "To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you, through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Sin blocks the relationship of answer. Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1-2 say, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." But if we seek the face of God, He will restore the blocked spiritual relationship with God. God has the power to forgive all the sins. When we seek the face of God, He promised us that He will heal the land. It means that the land is diseased. If people are dirty, then the land would also become dirty. If people have a downfall, then the land would also become desolate. Do you know the reason for it? God created everything for human beings. God made human beings so that we would live for God. Therefore, when human beings live for the glory of God, everything would be given to us. But when human beings had a downfall, the land also got diseased. If human beings spiritually get sick, the land would also get diseased so that the land would not be able to bear the good fruit. In Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 6, it says, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it, I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." The land refers to our home, our workplace and businesses. It refers to a place of our lives. It is a promise that God will heal. Eyes, ears, name and heart of God are all in the house of God. Let us turn to verses 15-16. It says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." We need to live our lives centered around the house of God. The life centered around the house of God is a life centered on God. The fact that the Israelites cried when they were captives was not because of their clothes, food and shelter. They cried because of the fallen house of God. In Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Even Daniel was taken away as a captive of Babylon. Three times a day, Daniel opened the window toward the house of God in Jerusalem and prayed to God. Due to this, he was even placed in a lion's den. But God shut the mouths of lions and protected Daniel. So, when the Israelites were building the houses, they chose the direction of north, south, west and east based on where the church was placed from it. And based on that, they chose the place for door facing towards the house of God. It was because the master of the house of God was God. When they entered their homes and when they got out of their homes, they thought of God. Thoroughly they lived their lives centered on God. 12 tribes of Israel divided themselves into three groups, and from north, south, west, and east, they placed the Ark of Covenant in the center, and according to the direction that the pillars of fire and cloud moved, they also went. My dear family in Christ, let us live our lives centered around the house of God as well. He said that in the house of God that there are eyes of God and also ears of God. Verse 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Also, he said that the name of God and his heart are also in the house of God always. Verse 16 says, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. When Solomon gave offerings for church for 7 years, and when he got into the church and while he was praying, God appeared to him and said to him that God will heal this land. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that all of you that are here listening to the sermon here, as well as those of you that were unable to come to church and worship through the video conference, I pray that God will heal your souls, bodies, spirits, and where you are placed also. I bless you all in the name of Jesus and pray that God will heal our people that has been ill because of coronavirus. I pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.